Mayan Trade, Part 2. Now, trading posts. There are many sites along the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula and Belize that thrived through seagoing trade for many centuries. Yana Island and the settlement off the west coast of the peninsula, celebrated for its cemetery and clay figures left in its graves, was a thriving trade and fishing port for at least 700 years. Tanca, a fortified town on the eastern coast of the northern Yucatan, appears to have been the center of trade in the Strombas Gigas, a type of conch shell used in religious rituals for at least at the time of Teotihuacan, where the shells are depicted in murals. Tanca was a trading post in the last centuries BCE onwards, handling obsidian, jade, pyrite, granite, and slate vessels exported from the Mayan cities of the Puuc region inland. The neighboring coastal settlement of Xexha was a port of the inland city of Coba from at least the 10th century. A sacre, or raised causeway, left the main square of Xelha and ran inland to the city of Coba. Around 3.5 miles south along the coast lay Tulum, which was founded on the cliffs overlooking the Caribbean Sea in 1200, at the time when maritime commerce was a source of great wealth and prestige for the merchants of the northern Yucatan. A clifftop beacon guided sailors through a gap in the reef that runs parallel to the shore and onto a safe landing on the beach beneath the town. At this time, the cities of the League of Mayapan, Mayapan, Uxmal, and Chichen Itza, much reduced from its former independent glory, but had control of the seagoing trade and probably built Tulum. The League's merchant elite also maintained an offshore trading center on the Isle of Cozumel, a little further north opposite the mainland settlement of Ixcaret. On Cozumel, large platforms right across the island were used as seasonal stores for products such as honey, cacao, and salt. The island traded all year in obsidian and building stone. The western part of Cozumel was the site of one of the region's most important religious shrines, that of the Mayan moon goddess Ixchel. Now, unlike the Aztecs, who had their own merchants, which were called poteca, the Mayan contemporaries did not have professional merchants. Among the Maya, long-distance trade was carried out by rulers and members of the nobility. At Chichen Itza and at Mayapan, the rulers appear to have been merchants. One account of the fall of Mayapan recounts that all the city's rulers were slaughtered in an attack, save one who was away from the city on his travels seeking trade. In both Maya and Aztec lands, and this of course would be after the collapse of the Classic period, short distance trading was performed either by small-scale entrepreneurs, peddlers, who bought and sold as they traveled hither and thither, or by the producers and manufacturers of the goods, the farmers, the weavers, the toolmakers, and the potters. From ancient times across Mesoamerica, long-distance trade was the preserve of a wealthy ruling elite. Trade was the lifeblood of development, because they brought wealth to the community and because they traded in elite goods such as feathers, jaguar skins, and sacrificial knives that were needed for the religious ceremony. Traders began to enjoy religious prestige as a result. Now, Mayan markets, many Mayan cities and towns held centralized markets in an open square. There's little archaeological evidence of marketplaces. However, commercial activity usually took place in the open, with perhaps a few pole and thatch buildings to provide shade or to keep the rain off, that have long since decayed. There is evidence that the Classic period Tikal had a permanent central marketplace. Archaeologists believe that the commercial zone was probably an enclosed area of the city's east plaza, containing buildings with many doorways. We know that in the post-Classic period, Ilmuque, in the southern Mayan region, had a market plaza with overseers to settle arguments, ensure that regulations were observed, and levy taxes. As at Tiloco, Mayan markets were effectively organized with different types of goods laid out in separate areas. Markets contained areas for visiting and foreign merchants, but rival controlling interests sometimes came into opposition. For example, an Aztec poteca trading in elite goods was not welcome in the areas where the Mayan nobles ran long-distance trade. Where necessary, representatives of the two sides met in neutral areas. So that's a kind of a glimpse into the Mayan trade and trading network. And of course, the big overseas trade, of course, collapsed at the end of the Classic period. But then you have this more localized trade that comes in. after that and continues until the time of the Spanish.
The sources for this are
the Maya by Cole, the Civilization of the Maya by Anquin, the Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.